Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Back to praying with scripture on your Divine Office podcast today, Psalm 95. A call to praise God. Encourage each other daily while it is still today, and how precious our time is, right? That was Hebrews 3:13. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us, today if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land too was formed by his hands. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. The glory of these 40 days we celebrate with songs of praise. For Christ, by whom all things were made, himself has fasted and has prayed. Alone in fasting, Moses saw the loving God who gave the law. And to Elijah fasting came the steeds and chariots of flame. So Daniel trained his mystic sight, delivered from the lion's might. And John, the bridegroom's friend, became the herald of Messiah's name. Then grant us, Lord, like them to do such things as bring great praise to you. Our spirits strengthen with your grace, and give us joy to see your face. O Father, Son, and Spirit blessed, to you be every prayer addressed, and by all mankind be adored, from age to age, the only Lord. When will I come to the end of my pilgrimage and enter the presence of God? Psalm 42, longing for the Lord's presence in his temple. Let all who thirst come, let all who desire it drink from the life-giving water, is our verse to help us interpret this Old Testament prayer in light of the New Testament. The verse is Revelation 22:17 that I just read. Like the deer that yearns for running streams, so my soul is yearning for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for God, the God of my life. When can I enter and see the face of God? My tears have become my bread, by night, by day, as I hear it said all the day long. Where is your God? These things will I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would lead the rejoicing crowd into the house of God. Amid cries of gladness and thanksgiving, the throng wild with joy. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior and my God. My soul is cast down within me as I think of you. From the country of Jordan and Mount Hebron, from the hill of Menzar, deep is calling on deep in the roar of waters. Your torrents and all your waves swept over me. By day the Lord will send his loving kindness. By night I will sing to him, praise the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? With cries that pierce me to the heart, my enemies revile me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God, I will praise him still, my Savior and my God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father in heaven, when your strength from the Holy Spirit takes possession of us, when your strength takes possession of us, we no longer say, "Why you cast down my soul?" So now that the surging waves of our indignation have passed over us, let us feel the healing calm of your forgiveness. Inspire us to yearn for you always like the deer for running streams until you satisfy every longing in heaven. And help us, Lord, as we thirst for various things, for money, for food, for possessions, to have our goals met, to find that thing that early Christians found, the strength of the Holy Spirit in you, making you a personal presence in our lives. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When will I come to the end of my pilgrimage and enter the presence of God? Lent, Antiphon 2. Lord, show us the radiance of your mercy. Our next prayer is from the Old Testament wisdom literature. It's a part of the book of Sirach, chapter 36. Prayer of entreaty for the holy city of Jerusalem. This is eternal life, to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:3. Come to our aid, O God of the universe, and put all the nations in dread of you. Raise your hand against the heathen, that they may realize your power. As you have used us to show them your holiness, so now use them to show us your glory. Thus they will know, as you know, that there is no God but you. Give new signs and work new wonders. Show forth the splendor of your right hand and arm. Gather all the tribes of Jacob, that we may inherit the land as of old. Show mercy to the people called by your name, Israel, whom you named your firstborn. Take pity on your holy city, Jerusalem, your dwelling place. Fill Zion with your majesty, your temple with your glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, show us the radiance of your mercy. The vaults of heaven ring with your praise, O Lord. This is Psalm 19, Part A. Praise of the Lord, Creator of all. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to guide our feet into the way of peace, is our verse from New Testament. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet their span extends through all the earth. Their words to the uttermost bounds of the world. There he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent, rejoices like a champion to run its course. At the end of the sky is the rising of the sun. To the furthest end of the sky is its course. There is nothing concealed from its burning heat. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Jesus, the beginning and end of our faith, endured the cross, heedless of the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. Sorry, wrong antiphon. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts, we pray for that Holy Spirit's strength to raise us up and to make us your sons and daughters. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The vaults of heaven ring with your praise, O Lord. Now we're going to substitute the shorter reading for morning prayer for the longer reading. And this is really the second part of that event, the church tells us, the crossing of the Red Sea, that's so exciting. St. Paul talks about it. But the verse introducing our lesson from scripture and tradition is, turn away from sin, and be faithful to the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 10 through 31. So if you want to know where it is, that's it. Exodus 14, 10 through 31. The crossing of the Red Sea, part 2. Pharaoh was already near when the Israelites looked up and saw that the Egyptians were on the march in pursuit of them. In great fright, they cried out to the Lord, and they complained to Moses, "Were there no burial places in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the desert? Why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this in Egypt when we said, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. Far better for us to be the slaves of the Egyptians than to die in the desert.'" But Moses answered the people, "Fear not. Stand your ground, and you will see the victory the Lord will win for you today. These Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, and you will stir up this, and you will lift up your staff, and with outstretched arm and with outstretched hand over the sea, split the sea in two, that the Israelites may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." The angel of God, who had been leading Israel's camp, now moved and went around behind them. The column of cloud also, leaving the front, took up its place behind them, so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and that of Israel. But the cloud now became dark, and thus the night passed without the rival camps coming any closer together all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind throughout the night, and so turned it into dry land. When the water was thus divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. The Egyptians followed in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers went after them right into the midst of the sea. In the night watch, just before dawn, the Lord cast through the column of the fiery cloud upon the Egyptian force a glance that threw it into a panic, and he so clogged the chariot wheels that they could hardly drive. With that, the Egyptians sounded the retreat before Israel, because the Lord was fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may flow back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea flowed back to its normal depth. The Egyptians were fleeing head on toward the sea when the Lord hurled them into its midst. As the water flowed back, it covered the chariots and the charioteers of Pharaoh's whole army, which had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one of them escaped, but the Israelites had marched on dry land through the midst of the sea, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. When Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore and behind the great power that the Lord had shown against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. Glory to you, Father. Responsory prayer. Let us sing to the Lord, glorious in his triumph. Horse and rider he has cast into the sea. The Lord is my refuge and my defense. He has become my Savior. The Lord is a warrior. Lord is his name. The Lord is my refuge and my defense. He has become my Savior. Now we're going to take a look at a second reading, and we have the option of either St. Paddy's second reading, or the regular one from the day, which I believe is St. John Chrysostom. And just looking it over, it looks like St. Patrick's will be much more inspiring and interesting. So we'll read that, and it's interesting. In the calendar, it says that today is a violet day, so usually there's you change the color for the season to be that of the saint, but they don't want you to break out of Lent, so I'm still purple today, you know. So that's interesting. These two memorials are not white or red or anything. They're purple, just like Lent. From the Confession of St. Patrick, Bishop, we'll read in place of our homily. So it's actually St. Patrick writing, "Through me, many peoples have been reborn in God. I give unceasing thanks to my God, who kept me faithful in the day of my testing. Today I can offer him sacrifice with confidence, giving myself as a living victim to Christ, my Lord, who kept me safe through all my trials. I can say now, who am I, Lord, and what is my calling, that you worked through me with such divine power? You did all this so that today among the Gentiles I might rejoice and glorify your name wherever I may be, both in prosperity and in adversity. You did that so that whatever happened to me, I might accept good and evil equally, always giving thanks to God. God showed me how to have faith in him forever, as one who is never to be doubted. He answered my prayer in such a way that in the last days, ignorant though I am, I might be bold enough to take up so holy and so wonderful a task, and to imitate in some degree those whom the Lord has so long ago foretold as heralds of his gospel, bearing witness to all the nations. How did I get this wisdom that was not mine before? I did not know the number of my days, or have knowledge of God. How did so great and so and salutary a gift come to me, the gift of knowing and loving God? Though at the cost of homeland and family, I came to the Irish peoples to preach the gospel and endure the taunts of unbelievers, put up with reproaches about my earthly pilgrimage, suffering my many persecutions, even bondage, and losing my birthright of freedom for the benefit of others. If I am worthy, I am ready also to give up my life without hesitation and most willingly for his name. I want to spend myself in that country, even in death. If the Lord should grant me this favor, I am deeply in his debt, for he gave me the great grace that through me many peoples should be reborn in God, and then made perfect by confirmation, and everywhere among them clergy ordained for a people so recently coming to believe, one people gathered by the Lord from the ends of the earth, as God has prophesied of old through the prophets, the nations shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, how false are the idols made by our fathers? They are useless. In another prophecy, he said, I have set you as a light among the nations to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. It is among that people that I wait. I want to wait for the promise made by him, who assuredly never tells a lie. He makes this promise in the gospel. They shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is our faith. Believers are to come from the whole world. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for leading us through Lent, especially me on this intricate growth in the virtue of obedience. Becoming obedient to you is an intricate dance. Responsory prayer. God has given me the grace to be a minister of Christ Jesus among the Gentiles and to assume the priestly duty of preaching the gospel so that the Gentiles might be received as an offering acceptable, consecrated by the Holy Spirit. In my spirit I serve the Father by preaching the gospel of his Son so that the Gentiles might be received as an acceptable offering, consecrated by the Lord. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, isn't it? The story of our Lord, continuing his work in these apostles, and in St. Patrick in particular. Blessed be the Lord. This is the canticle of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Let us praise and thank him as we pray, nourish your people, Lord. Christ, you decided to show your merciful love through your holy shepherds. Let your mercy always reach us through them. Through your vicars, you continue to perform the ministry of shepherd of souls. Direct us always through our leaders. Through your holy ones, the leaders of your people, you served as physician of our bodies and our spirits. Continue to fulfill your ministry of life and holiness in us. You taught your flock through the prudence and love of your saints. Grant us continual growth in holiness under the direction of our pastors. We pray for Bill and for Henry, for their special intentions and needs within God's perfect plan. Nourish your people, Lord. Take care to help all of us, Lord. Gathering all of our prayers, spoken and unspoken, into one, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Amen. I'll pray St. Patrick's special prayer for today. And I do love his other St. Patrick prayer, the special prayer of the Lorica of St. Patrick, or the breastplate of St. Patrick. God, our Father, you sent St. Patrick to preach your glory to the people of Ireland. By the help of his prayers, may all Christians proclaim your love to all men. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let's pray for the Holy Father's glorious, blessed intentions, and we'll finish with a Lectio Divina and being able to pray during this holy, this incredibly holy season of Lent, when we give extra time to prayer, to sacrifice, for this indulgence, intentions. Let us pray that broken families might discover the cure for their wounds through forgiveness, rediscovering each other's gifts, even in their differences. And wow, that is just so needed, especially now. Even in some of our own families, it's very needed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity. Pray for us, Holy Mother of God, and our families, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory to you, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Now, so that you can hear the word, I will read you this important and beautiful passage from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. and we'll practice Lectio Divina. Like I said, this is a way in which we give special attention to God's word so that it becomes part of us and we can hear God's voice speaking to us. There's all different ways of doing it. We're just showing you one. Father Mark Mary shows you a different one. Now, the natural person does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God. For to him it is foolishness, and he cannot understand it, because it is judged spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can judge everything, but is not subject to judgment by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, but as fleshly people, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, because you were unable to take it. Indeed, you are still not able, even now, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and rivalry among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in an ordinary human way? Whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, or another, I belong to Apollos, or you, are you not merely human? What is Apollos, after all, and what is Paul? Ministers through whom you became believers, just as the Lord assigned each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Therefore, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who causes the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters are equal, and each will receive wages in proportion to his labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, the work of each will come to light, for the day will disclose it. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If the work stands that someone built upon the foundation, that person will receive a wage. But if someone's work is burned up, that one will suffer loss. The person will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Again, this is the point where you're encouraged either to pick apart or a word that stood out to you in some methods, or else to reread it silently once for your intellect or for yourself personally, for your heart. Again, this part was it was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through chapter 3, verse 16, if you want to look it up in your own Bible, which I highly recommend, or on an online Bible. Anyone can get the Bible, as long as they have free access to the internet now. I recommend like the New American Bible Revised Edition. So the second time I went into what's known as a meditation, or they say it in a different language. And anyway, the part that stood out to me was, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and rivalry among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in an ordinary human way? So that was profoundly important to me in my own experiences, because I recognize, you know, there are ways, and I'm not going to say them, in which maybe I'm clinging to things too much and I'm demanding the things that I want of God, and this is a fleshly way. Also, you know, I think of the many people in my diocese who are very fleshly and very immature. I think of many people who display these types of behaviors even now in our community. So again, at this point, this is where we have the retell step in the version of Lectio that I learned. So if we were to just retell this, St. Paul tells us that people who are able to access this higher level of the Spirit's activity can judge things spiritually. They are taught words by the Holy Spirit to describe their spiritual experiences. They are subject to be able to judge everything using their spiritual wisdom and light, but not subject to judgment by anyone. God gives them this grace, this power, even over their circumstances. But who knows the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? He compares them to infants in Christ. He says that they are behaving in a fleshly way that shows that they still need to go back to a foundational level and relearn the wisdom of Christ. And then he makes a very interesting statement. He says that all the people that they are fighting over, roles and responsibilities, Paul, Apollos, they are servants, or they are ministers in this translation, through whom they became believers. God is the one doing the supernatural work. And each laborer, like Solomon, building his temple, is laying a foundation for the temple that is, that Paul will also describe as, the body of Christ, the temple of the people of God. So all these servants build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, and they lay different things on this foundation. So later on, you know, people reread this in their own life situations and they thought, and it's true. It's also true that if I am the temple of God, it's not just Paul and Apollos and the priests and ministers that are building upon me, but rather I myself as an individual am a temple. And so that's where this idea of purgatory comes in, because Paul is talking about how it's not just all by grace, the way some groups of Protestants might imagine. It's not as if he's grace, grace, grace all the time. But he does say that there are some things that you receive wages in proportion to your labor for. And then he goes on to explain, okay, there's the temple of God. The foundation of the temple is Jesus Christ. And I'm a master builder like Solomon, building this community as a temple. And, you know, the gold, the hay, the precious stones, people meditate upon those things. But we are the temple of God, and you also are like Solomon, building yourself on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So that would be like the retell step. Now, the respond is where I privately talk to God about what stood out to me, or about what I'm struggling with, or just I don't know what to say, but I'm here. And then you can do the last step, the rest. Some people, some other methods have it as the contemplation. So Father Mark Mary teaches the receive. I'm trying to remember. I think I'll post a video. You can find it under Rosary in a Year. But in any case, like I said, I told you a little bit about how being fleshly stood out to me, being young. I'm not going to say all the things that I thought, but you get the point. This is how this form of prayer is done. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and let's make the sign of the cross. I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces, and I offer my partial indulgence or equivalent graces for the soul and purgatory, both of them, or whichever one I get individually, for the soul that our Lord has chosen. May the soul be blessed in the state of purification. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.